Tonight we address the subject, Paul's last words. This will take us to the book of 2 Timothy, so turn there. 2 Timothy is the last book chronologically that the Apostle Paul wrote. 2 Timothy was written a few days and at most a few weeks before he died. He died at the hands of the Roman authorities. 2 Timothy, it will take us to chapter 4, the last chapter. Verse 6, 7, and 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. We have mentioned that these are some of Paul's very last words. Brethren, last words are important. They say a lot. If you want to know what is not only in a man's heart, but what is in his soul, listen to what the man says when he knows his life is about to come to a close. In some of his last words, the Apostle Paul addresses Timothy. Timothy had been Paul's traveling companion for some 20 years. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. And now the old preacher is about to die. But before he does, he wants to address his dear and beloved friend and son in the faith, Timothy. And so as Paul writes these last words to Timothy, Paul talks to Timothy about himself. And in these three verses, Paul presents to Timothy three snapshots of himself. Now, brethren, watch how the passage unfolds before us. In verse 6, Paul gives to Timothy a snapshot of his present. This is my present condition, Timothy. In verse 7, Paul gives to Timothy a snapshot of his past. This is what my life has been in Jesus. And in verse 8, Paul gives to Timothy a snapshot of what his future is going to be. So we have here Paul's present, we have here Paul's past, and we have here Paul's future. Verse 6 is the present, verse 7 is the past, verse 8 is the future. Let's look at this together. First, Paul talks to Timothy about his present situation. Again, verse 6. For I am, right now, right here, I am. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul says to Timothy two things about his present condition. First, Paul says to Timothy, I am ready. What an amazing view of death. I am ready. I am in the Mamertine prison in Rome. The next person who approaches this cell could be the executioner that will lead me up out of this dungeon and take me off and sever my head. Timothy, understand my present condition. I'm ready. I'm ready. In 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, the prophet Isaiah is sent to King Hezekiah with a message. And in verse 1, the prophet told the king, set your house in order and prepare to die because you cannot live. Brethren, listen to me. Have you set your life in order? Have you set your life in order? If you haven't set your life in order, you're not ready to die. If you're not, listen, if you're not a Christian, you're not ready to die. You're not ready. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire with mighty angels, taking vengeance, listen to it, taking vengeance on those who know not God and on those who have not obeyed the gospel. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you are not a Christian. And if you are not a Christian, you are not ready to die. You're not ready to die. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Peter told those Christians, you make your calling and election sure. You make sure that your salvation is secure and sure. Peter, what are you telling those Christians? I'm telling them, you make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready. If you're not a Christian, you're not ready. But brethren, if you're not faithful, you're not ready to die. You're not ready to die. So the first thing that Paul tells Timothy about his present condition, he says, Timothy, I'm ready. And the second thing he tells Timothy about his current, present position just before death, look at verse 6 again. He says, the time of my departure has come. Now I want you to look at the word departure in verse 6. This is the only time that specific word appears in the New Testament. That's its only appearance. And that word is absolutely rich in its meaning. The word that Paul chose to tell Timothy at the end of his life, about his departure is a word that carried two meanings with it. First of all, it was a word that was used by ancient soldiers who were taking down their tents so that they could move to another area. Paul told Timothy, listen, I'm about to take down my earthly tent and I'm about to move on to another place. Thank God. I'm about to break out of this earthly tent and lay it aside because I've got a home that's not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. Departure. The second meaning of the word is that it was a word that was used in the ancient world to talk about a boat or a ship that had lifted anchor and was now about to sail away. Look at the picture. Look at the picture. I'm about to take down my earthly tent and I'm about to move away. Timothy, I'm about to pull up anchor and I'm setting sail in the eternal by and by. That's how Paul viewed death. In fact, if you look at verse 6, Paul is talking about dying and he never even uses the word death. That was his present. I'm ready. I'm pulling up anchors and I'm heading to the eternal heavens. Secondly, verse 7, Paul talks about his past. Look at verse 7. I have is past tense. He uses the expression three times in this verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He's talking about his past. Listen to me. When he came to the very, very end of his life, he looked back. It had been 30, at this point, it had been 30 years since the Damascus Road experience. It had been 30 years since God had thrown him off that horse and told him to go into the city of Damascus and he'd be told what to do. It had been 30 years that this man had been a Christian, and now at the end of his life, having lived 30 years for Jesus, Paul now looks back at his past and Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, let me tell you about my past. And Paul uses three great illustrations. He said, I have fought a good fight. He's having reference there to being a soldier. Now, in our translations, we read it, think, well, he's talking about fighting, but the word that he uses was a word that was related to the ancient soldier. Listen to me. Paul said, I've been a soldier for Jesus. If you back up two chapters in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul talks about being a good soldier in Christ. If you back up further in Ephesians 6 verses 10 and following, he likens the church to being an army of God. Brethren, every Christian is a soldier in the armor of God. We understand, we know that, right? Now, Paul told Timothy, listen, I'm a soldier for Jesus. The number one characteristic of a soldier is loyalty. Loyalty. What Paul is saying by calling himself a soldier, Paul is saying, listen, my allegiance every day for the past 30 years has been to Jesus. Are you a loyal soldier to Jesus? Is your allegiance really to Christ? Paul said, I have been a soldier. The key to being a soldier is loyalty. Look at verse 7 again. He says, the second thing I have been for Christ for 30 years is an athlete. He said, I have run the race. I have run the race. Paul is liking the Christian race to Christian life to that of running in a race. Now, brethren, this is important. Paul said, I am a soldier. The key to having been a soldier is that he was loyal. But brethren, the key to being a runner is endurance. Endurance. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He says, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Listen. He's describing his entire Christian life here. The past 30 years. He said, I'm a soldier, and a key to being a soldier is loyalty. He said, I have been running in a race, and the key to running in a race is endurance. Listen, runners have to endure. They have to endure aches and pains everywhere. They have to endure weather conditions. It's always too hot. It's always too cold. It's too windy. It's too humid. It's too wet. It's too dry. You have to endure. In Matthew 24:13, Jesus says, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We have to endure. In the 1968 Olympics, in the marathon, the runner from Tanzania had gotten about 3/4 finished with the marathon, and he suffered an injury. Ended up being a very serious knee injury, and he went to the ground, and he laid there because he couldn't get himself back up on his feet. So officials run to him to help him, and he backed everybody off. Because if they touched him, he was disqualified from the race. So he refused to allow them to touch him. He couldn't stand. So he began to hobble. Listen to me. Several hours, and I mean many hours, after the last person had crossed the finish line, he hopped across it. Hours after the last place finisher. And they asked him, why did you keep going? And he said, my country didn't send me halfway across the world for me to quit. So I kept going. What did he do? He endured. He endured. We have to endure. We have to endure what the devil throws at us. We have to endure what the world throws at us. Bless God, sometimes we have to endure what we're throwing at each other. Paul, listen, Paul is looking back at 30 years of Christianity. And Paul says, here's what I've been. This is my past. I've been a soldier because I've been loyal. I've been a runner because I have endured all of it that's been thrown at me. Look at verse 7, the end of it. He said, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. What is he saying? He said, I've been a good steward. He said, I've been a good steward. He says, the faith was given to me, and I have been a good steward in that I have passed that faith on. I have passed that faith on. The key to a soldier is loyalty. The key to a runner is endurance. And the key to being a steward is to be faithful to it. To be faithful to it. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, he said, moreover, brethren, the gospel that I have preached unto you. Now let me ask you a question. What happens when the gospel is preached? Well, what happened when Paul preached the gospel to the Corinthians? He said, this is the gospel I have preached to you. Well, what happens when he did that? You go back to Acts 18, where Paul first went to Corinth and preached the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 18 and in verse 8, when he went there, that many of the Corinthians heard Paul preach, they believed and were baptized. When the gospel is preached, the result is belief and baptism. Now watch carefully, we're coming to a close. Look at verse 8. Verse 6, here is my present. I'm ready. Let's do it. Here is my past. For 30 years, I've been loyal, I have endured, and I have been faithful. Now, here is his future. Look at verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. Now I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to talk to me, because I want you to understand this future. Look at that verse. What was it that had been laid up for the Apostle Paul? The crown of righteousness. Paul says there's laid up, there's been stored up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, here's the real deal. Why had that crown of righteousness been laid up for Paul? Why? Because he had been loyal, because he had endured, and because he had been faithful. That's why the crown of righteousness had been laid up for him. Look at verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. Brethren, here's the next question. Who else is this crown of righteousness laid up for? All of us. All of us who what? Will be loyal, who will endure, and who will be faithful. If we will be loyal as soldiers of Christ, as Paul was, if we will endure as athletes, as runners in the Christian race, as Paul did. And if we will be faithful stewards of the gospel as Paul is, thank God, we, you and I, will receive the same crown of life that Paul did. Look one more time at verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me also, but to all who love his appearing. Listen. When will that crown of righteousness be given to him? He said, on that day. Look at verse 8. On that day. What day? That day. What day? The day of judgment. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul said that I have committed that to the Lord. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. What did Paul committed to the Lord? His past. What did Paul committed to the Lord? His present. What did Paul committed to the Lord? His future. And Paul said, God is able to keep it for me until that day. Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will come unto me in that day, the day of judgment. Paul told Timothy, here's my present, here's my past, and here is my future. Have you ever taken such a look at your own life? Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you been loyal? Where's your allegiance? Have you endured what the devil and all of hell has thrown at you? And have you been faithful? Have you ever taken in your life enough time to pause and look at your own future? That crown of righteousness. Because without verse 6 and 7, we don't get verse 8. These were some of Paul's last words. May God help all of us to live in such a way that they can be ours. Are you ready? If you're not, you can change. You can change the course of your life in your eternity right now as together we stand and as we sing.